It's time to talk about that man again. Only one of us now owns Erling Haaland. We discuss premiums in depth, look ahead to the congested Christmas schedule, and suggest Bukayo Saka as the standout captaincy option. Hello, welcome back to the FPL Pod Thursday. Comes around very quickly these days, it feels. Big game week last week. Congratulations if you captained Mo Salah. I can't believe I'm here, to be honest, as someone that didn't own him, but I am. I survived. Kelly Summers back with Sam Bonfield and Julian Laron, two very smug Salah owners, but Jules didn't captain him.
No,
I'm going
I didn't.
Straight in with it, Jules.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the whole truth is that I swapped the armband between him and Haaland pretty much all Friday. I was in Saudi Arabia for work and Saturday morning, and then I took the kids to the cinema in the morning, and then I forgot to, I promise you this is the truth, I forgot to put it back onto Salah. That's why even in the tweet that I posted with my team, I said the captain, Haaland or Salah, I was very much like, come on, surely Mo Salah is the one. So then I was very stressed watching the game against Southampton, and to be fair, for most of it, he was not really much into it. And then Santa came from the North Pole, gave him two gifts, two goals, and I was fuming.
Sam, I don't know what I'm more surprised about there, the fact that Jules actually did something with his kids or the fact that he forgot the deadline and
so
didn't sort his team out.
I thought I thought you did it just to troll me, because then when Man City beats Spurs, you could come on here and be like, oh, and I captained Haaland.
No. Although I really thought he would do much better against Spurs. And to be fair, he could easily have had two goals. So no, it was just, I hesitated really. And then I thought, oh, Salah has to be the pick. And then I just didn't do it.
Sam, how did your team do elsewhere? Can I just point out one thing before we go any further? I didn't have Salah, yet somehow I beat you both. I don't know how, but I did.
I think it was one of those weeks though, wasn't it? Where if you had the right other players, yeah, then you could get away with it, because there were so many other big hauls. Like if you had Cunha or you had João Pedro, or you double up on the Arsenal defence.
Saka as well.
Or you'd had Saka. Yeah. Then you could get away with it. Whereas for my team, it was a weird week, because like I have never been so cross at a player as I was at Madueke when it got in the way of that Cole Palmer shot, because I was like, that's a load of points. And I was watching that game with my dad, who's a massive Chelsea fan, and he was like, I don't understand why you're so angry about this. And I was like, FPL points, dad. But yeah, I think for me it was a good game week. I had Raya, I'd played Gvardiol, and I probably shouldn't, but although to be fair, how he didn't get an attacking return in that game against Spurs, I still don't really know. Like, his attacking threat is mad at the moment. I had Strand Larsen instead of Cunha, which is such a frustration. But, you know, at least he got an assist towards the back end of that game. I had Dominic Solanke. And then when you only get an assist in a four-goal victory, that's also a bit annoying. But, yeah, I mean, look, it was a fine game week. I got 54. It was a tiny, tiny little red, couple of hundred K places. So, yeah, it was okay. I'd captained Salah, but Bruno and Palmer not returning. When you've got that level of budget in players and they don't return, it's annoying.
I want to know what you're going to do with Bruno. We'll talk about him very shortly. Jules, overall, you got 57, so just a few more than Sam. I know you're not happy with the captaincy, but elsewhere, how did the team do? What were you pleased with?
Yeah, elsewhere was great. And 57 got me a green arrow again, and the third game week in a row, so that was good. Obviously, if I'd Captain Salah, it would have been even better. But Henderson with the penalty save, of course, Saliba at the back. We said that Arsenal would get more solid now, and I think they're certainly on the way. Salah, we said Nico Jackson really with the goal and the assist. Well, you know what I think? It should never be given as an assist when you have a shot and that the keeper saves it. And even if somebody scores on the rebound, it's crazy. But I took those points. But yeah, Nico was the one that really pleased me the most, because we talked a lot about Cole Palmer, and we said in last week's show, if you can't afford him because he's expensive, Nico is a great replacement. And Nico is still expensive in a way for forwards in the game compared to others. But he's been in really good form this season. I think he deserves maybe a higher ownership.
Yeah, I know what you mean, actually. I have made my transfers. I made them on Saturday night, and Jackson was nearly one that I bought in. I didn't go for him in the end. Are you concerned about Havertz at all?
I was surprised he didn't play at all, to be fair, in the game against Forest. But then he came back and played against Sporting in the Champions League on Tuesday night, did really well, linking up everything, scoring a goal as well. So, I think he's going to start this weekend. And it's a question of, with Havertz, yes, you can probably go for somebody even more informed than him because he's had a bit of a dip, like the whole Arsenal team. But I think this is a team capable now with Odegaard back in the team to create so many chances for everyone, Trossard, Martinelli, Saka, obviously, Odegaard himself, even your deeper midfielders. And then Havertz will have chances. So he's not always the most clinical, we know that. I still think, even if he's expensive too, I think he's still a great asset to have, especially if, like me, you don't have Saka or Odegaard and don't really have the money to invest into Saka.
You're not going to be able to get to Saka either, are you?
No. So for me, Havertz, a bit like Jackson and Palmer, yeah. Havertz makes sense as an Arsenal attacker, as the non-Saka Arsenal attacker.
Okay, well, let's check in on our mini league then. A reminder, your code is Q7YCO, the letter 0, the number. Looking at how you guys are doing in that league, James White is at the summit, 75 points for him. Well done, captained Mo Salah, transferred in Joao Pedro for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. What a transfer that is. He's now 13th in the world. The reason I'm saying that is that's probably the final transfer for the game week I'm going to make. I've made two already. James, though, has used all four of his currently available chips, but it seems to have worked for him. Now, last week's leader, Godfrey, he's now second. He also captained Salah, but he rolled his transfer this week. He got 69 points. That makes him just behind James. He's two places behind, in fact, 15th overall. He does, however, have all four original chips available. So that includes a wild card as well. We also wanted to give a shout out to Charlie Shepherd and Alex Lindholm, who both played the triple captain chip this week on Mo Salah. They got 89 and 96 points respectively. Charlie went from 9th in the league to 4th. Alex went from 25th all the way up to 5th. Just show how useful those chips are. Okay, it feels like every week at the moment on either the pod or the show, I'm talking about one man. Not Julian Laurent, Erling Haaland.
Quite similar in terms of talent.
I've sold him, guys. I've gone.
You have?
Well.
Wow.
Well, you've done it.
I did it on Saturday night.
Okay.
After a few drinks?
No.
To get Salah?
Yes. It was a transfer I should have done last week. Do you remember I sat here a week ago, Sam, and said,
yeah,
I'm going to do Semenyo. I'm thinking of doing Semenyo and Haaland for Salah and Isak, and I didn't do it.
Yeah. That was really brave to do that before Salah and Isak had played, but, and Champions League football as well.
But you know what? I also thought, I agree. So that's why I had three transfers. I used two of them and I kept one just in case something went really wrong, which is annoying because I've missed the other transfers. I said it's going to be Calvert-Lewin to Joao Pedro. And it's annoying because Joao Pedro rose and Dominic Calvert-Lewin fell. But I was like, I can't go too gung-ho here and completely end up having to take points hits to replace them. So yeah, I watched Isak. So none of those players had played. So I had to watch Salah on Sunday, Isak on Monday, Salah last night. I don't want to speak too soon because probably a couple of training sessions to go. I seem to have survived it. But I had the 3 PMs went so well for me. I was really pleased. I was on a really big green arrow. So all of my players played on Saturday night. I had 64 points by Saturday evening. I was really happy, but I was just so annoyed with Erling Haaland. I wasn't able to watch all of that late game. I was listening to bits on the radio. I was traveling back from Manchester, but I was getting updates from my friend that I mentioned on this pod quite a lot. And he just said, we have to sell. We have to. And I was like, I knew that anyway, and I was annoyed that I wasn't bold enough to go with those transfers before, because if I had Semenyo, just got a point last week as well. Semenyo also is now banned. So that also I just thought, do you know what? I haven't been bold enough this season. While I feel like maybe I'm going to gain some upward momentum, I'm going to really push forward and try and do it. So I did those transfers. Anyway, that's where I am. And I think a lot of managers will be in a similar position. His sales are only going to increase. In fact, his ownership is now just 56.1%. Don't get me wrong, that is still absolutely huge, but it's not as absolutely huge as we've seen in the past. He is still the most owned player in the game. Salah is owned by 55.2% of managers, 54.7% with Palmer. Since Monday, by the way, Haaland has dropped another 1.5%. You both seem shocked at me selling him then. So my first question to you is, why are you shocked, Sam?
I'm shocked that you did it before Salah even played. I think, Oh, spoiler alert, I also made a transfer on Saturday night whilst out because of price rises that were going to happen, and I wanted to make sure that I hit them. But I didn't use both my transfers for the same reason, so I let one go that I knew was going to rise in price and might mean that longer term I can't afford them, because it was for an Arsenal player and I didn't want to do it ahead of the Champions League. So I kind of waited on that one. But I guess for me, I'm just, the surprise came not that you'd sold Haaland, because I still think that that's the right thing at the moment, but more that you did it for Salah and Isak when neither of them had played yet in the game week, because that's a massive risk to do that ahead of the games, because if one of them gets injured, then...
But it doesn't matter, guys, because they're both fine. Like I said, two more training sessions to go, no, my luck. I did say that to my friend. I said, no, my luck, one of them's going to do an ACL now across the next week, because that's the way the season's been gone. Mm. Jules, are you still sticking with
that? Yeah, and I really admire your bravery and others who've sold Haaland. I just can't. And I think if I look at, okay, the performances haven't been great collectively from City, and from him individually, he scored two in the last four Premier League matches, so that's not too bad. But for him, that's not really the standing. And also, he's missed a few chances. But as we always say, if you look a little bit deeper into the data and the stats, his expected goals, that's just so good. You know, against Spurs, it was 0.82. which is still a lot. He could easily have scored two goals in that. Against Brighton, 1.38. Against Bournemouth, 0.88. And if you look at the XG on target, it's 1.44 against Bournemouth. And then against Southampton, let's not even go there because it was 2.33 anyway. So if I would be more worried if there was just nothing. XG was really low. There was no chances created for him, or he was not in the right positions, which he is. He scored two in the Champions League on Tuesday night, albeit in a disastrous night for City, but still. So I just think that at some point they're going to get better. I wouldn't be surprised if it was on Sunday against Liverpool, for example. Certainly offensively. Defensively, I think they will concede goals because they're all over the place, and they seem to think, like Vardiol, more about scoring goals than actually not conceding any, which is a worry. But with the ball going forward, I still think that he's going to score loads, and he's still the forward with the most points in the game this season. So I don't see why, even for budget reason, why I would sell him.
I can kind of understand. For me, I looked at it and thought, I've got Saka, I can't sell Saka. I need to have Mo Salah. It just feels like he's a need at the moment, because my rank had soared on Saturday night. Don't get me wrong, it needed to soar. It just soared to a slightly more respectable level. But then not having Salah put me back so far. And I don't know, it just felt, particularly given that performance, don't get me wrong, at halftime on Tuesday night, I was thinking, oh no, City are back. Haaland's going to be back. He's on the score sheet again. But actually, City are an interesting team at the moment, aren't they, Sam? It's just not working. I mean, I'm not the first, and I'm definitely not going to be the last person to say that this week. But how does that play into your thinking when it comes to FPL?
I think it has to. I think you have to look at the player form, but the team form as well as the fixtures. I think with Haaland at the moment, I mean, Jules is right. Like, when you look at the underlying stats from game weeks 1 to 5 and then from 6 to 12, his XG, his XA, his XGI, his touches, his penalty area touches, his goal attempts, everything's up in the last, since game week 6, which when you think about the level of points returns that he's had in that time, the stats aren't what we're seeing in terms of returns in FPL. So it's a tough one. I think for me right now, though, there's two things that play into it. First thing is that I can have Salah instead, and he's playing really well and in a Liverpool team that's playing really well. So that's playing into my thinking. But also, it's the fact that there's so many brilliant, like roughly 6 million-ish forwards. And like, I get what you just said, Jules, but I think for budget reasons, like when you compare him with, say, Cunha at the moment or João Pedro at the moment, the savings that you have there for better returns right now. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to last all season. I'm not expecting Cunha to, you know, be the Ballon d'Or winner or anything this season. But with the fixtures the way that they are, he should continue to get good returns over the next few weeks. And at his price point in comparison to Haaland's, and the fact that if you go for Cunha or João Pedro or somebody similar over Haaland, even if you want to go Isak like Kelly, over Haaland, you can then have Palmer and Saka and Salah in the middle. And the ability to have those three far outweighs what Haaland could do. And I think for me is...
It could, because a weekend where...
It should, though, Jules. Three of them versus one of them. Or two.
I don't know if it should, but in that case, we can also say that Haaland could now score two goals in every single game in the Premier League until the end of the season, because he should, because he has the stats for it and he is in the team for it. I just find with the should and could, and it's just a bit. So then it's down to your preferences and maybe, okay, fixture list and form of the moment. But Cole Palmer was not that great against Leicester, for example. Certainly not the best player by far in his team, behind Enzo and Nico Jackson and others. And yeah, he was unlucky on that goal that you mentioned, what should have been a goal, really, that Madueke takes away from him. But I watched that game and I'm thinking, like, I don't have Palmer in my team. And really, on that game itself, I've got no regrets at all not to have Cole Palmer. And okay, this weekend he might score four. And then I think, okay, yeah, I should have him and not Haaland if Haaland blanks. But then if Haaland scores four this weekend and you don't have him, but you have Palmer who does nothing, then next week we're here sitting and they're saying, like, well, you should have had Haaland. And not, do you see what I mean? So it's always the should and could, and which is absolutely fine. This is part of the fun of the game. But I just don't, I don't want to take the risk of not having Haaland, because of all those players, and certainly on the form of at times this season, and they've all have been a bit up and down, let's be honest. Even Palmer is not maybe as consistent as he was last season, where every week we knew he was going to do something quite special. Saka, as same with Arsenal, had a bit of a dip as well too. And now it's City's turn. But Mo Salah might have the next four games with nothing either, you know. So it's just, yeah, it's just what you feel really is the most important for your team.
Going back to the kind of should and could debate, that's kind of what, in a different way though, Jules, we can all say Haaland should and could have had all of those points that his underlying stats should have created. And I've sat on this show and on the FPL TV show as well every week, and people have told me stats that have made me and you, people like me and you, keep him. It just got to a point where I just thought, I'm not enjoying owning him as well now. It's just a frustration. And FPL is meant to be fun. Don't get me wrong, it will not be fun when he inevitably gets a hat-trick.
It's not fun not having him.
And he's still, and I take all of Jules's points on board, and if I could, I would keep him. But when you had a player that on Saturday for me was 15.2 million, he was going down to 15.1, then I wouldn't have kept that 0.1 to sit for when I sell him, for example. I just thought, why am I holding him ahead of a fixture with Liverpool? Don't get me wrong. After Liverpool, it's then Forest, Crystal Palace, Manchester United, Villa, Everton, Leicester. There's a couple of fixtures in there that I will be particularly nervous about. Well, there's more than a couple. But Mo Salah for me. Jules, if you had to go without one of Salah or Haaland at the moment, who would it be?
No, I mean, on the form, yeah.
No. You don't have to. You don't have to. So but that's kind of like how I had to look at it in my team.
You could just have one of the two. You can just have one of the two.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be Salah, it feels like, for me at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, for me, the dilemma is slightly different, because I decided to go with both Salah and Haaland when Sam, like she rightly said, and this is completely respectable too, to go for Saka, Palmer and Salah and not have Haaland. And this is your main front, your main three, really, instead of your main two, if you go with Haaland and Salah, for example. But again, it's just the way I see it though, and I understand the budget reason, and I think the reason why I think a lot of people are selling Haaland is for that. So you go down to Cunha, but that means you can reinvest a lot of that money. Although, make sure that you still have enough in the bank or a way to get back to Erling Haaland, because the day things are going to get better for City, probably after the Liverpool game, maybe when their fixtures are much better. And then I think a lot of people would want to get back, might want to get him back into the team. But if you tell me between João Pedro, Cunha and Haaland, for example, still, who is the most likely to score more goals? And I know budget obviously comes into the consideration. I would always back Haaland more than Cunha, for Cunha to keep playing at this level, or for João Pedro to keep playing at the level that we saw in the two games. It's just as simple as that. And I just think, again, it's too much of a risk not to have Haaland.
Producer Jesse's going to be playing this back to us next week. Jules' words of wisdom when Haaland
gets
four.
No, it's not. Because you might be right.
But ultimately, FPL, so much of it is just using the evidence we have and then having to guess what a player is going to do at the weekend. None of us know. And I think it's really interesting that for so long, we've all sat on different players, me without Mo Salah, just having Haaland, Sam just having Salah, and vice versa. This is what's made the game so good. We've said it so many times this year, the fact that we're all in slightly different situations. Mm. But also what makes FPL good is knowing when to jump on and off players. And Jules, like you, I watched that early kickoff on Saturday and I thought to myself, gosh, I know we can joke all you like about my history with Cole Palmer, and that's part of the reason I won't sell him. But if I didn't have Cole Palmer, my transfer on Saturday night would have been Haaland to Jackson. And I probably would have liked that more than Haaland to Isak, to be honest. And then I would have had more money. And maybe, in fact, I wouldn't have needed to sell Haaland because I've got so much money in Cole Palmer. So maybe you're right at the moment. Maybe Cole Palmer isn't one of the best expensive players. But the beauty of the game, Sam, is that it can change game week to game week. For me at the moment, it just feels like Salah is the most consistent.
I agree with everything you've just said. And I think for me, it's never about, is this player worth owning? Because in isolation, they're all worth having.
They all are.
Like,
yeah,
Haaland,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, if you look at it purely in isolation, then you would absolutely want to keep Haaland because he will undoubtedly be one of the top goal scorers in the league this season. I have no doubt about that. But it's not just each player in isolation. It's each player in comparison to the rest of the team that you can build around having that player. So if you have Haaland and Salah, like Jules does, then you have some sacrifices there. So likely, like Jules, no Saka or no Palmer or maybe both, neither of them. Maybe there's only one Arsenal defender rather than two. There's all of those conversations. Whereas if you don't have Haaland and just have Salah or don't have Salah and just have Haaland, the team that you can build potentially looks better because you can fit in all these extra players. So Kels, you can join my club of like finding it absolutely horrendous.
Oh, don't get me wrong. No offense, but I do not want to be in that club. But
you're welcome to join me hiding behind the sofa every time Man City play. I must admit that Saturday evening was probably the best night of my life because not only did Haaland not do anything to hurt me in FPL, but Spurs were going on a riot and I was so happy. I can't tell you how happy I was. There are other weeks where I'm watching, like the first week I sold him, it was the Brighton game. And obviously he scored quite early on in that game. And I was like, oh, this is awful. And I just was like, we were thankfully out, so I didn't have to watch it. And by the end of the game, I was just like, I'm just going to turn my phone off and I'm not going to look at it until the end. And then I'll see how much damage is done. And in the end, it was just the one goal and it was okay. But it does feel constantly like that kind of worry is always there. But then that worry was there when I didn't have Salah, and that worry is there when I don't have Saka, and it's there when I don't have Palmer. So it's the same for all of these players. You just have to make some tough choices, and this is why this year's game is so good, because you have to make those choices.
Yeah, I also quite like I said before, that we're all in slightly different situations, although Sam, you and I in slightly more similar situations. Though, what, who are your three forwards now?
Well, my forward line is a bit random. Okay. Because obviously I made some interesting choices going into my wild card. So I've still got Solanke. I've got Chris Wood at the moment, who's getting one more week because of got Ipswich this time around. And then I made a transfer, as I said, on Saturday evening. So I did Strand Larsen to João Pedro on Saturday evening. So at the moment, they're my front three. But within the next week or two, the plan is for Chris Wood to be Cunha.
Right, okay. Yeah, mine are now Cunha, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's going to become João Pedro. Sorry,
you can't
time
sell Calvert-Lewin. You
have
to keep him.
I don't, to be honest.
You're the only owner in the world, I think. No, he's owned by 0.000. That's true.
Well, Jules, I've lost a lot of money in him. His price has fallen and fallen and fallen.
Because
so
everyone else has sold him.
Everyone's smarter than
He's on sale.
Yeah.
He's on sale anyway.
If you want to buy him now, guys, you can get him
a Black Friday deal.
You
can buy Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Oh my God, if he listens, that's bad. That's so bad. We're joking.
Bless him. No. The thing is, I still stand by all the reasons I bought him in. It just hasn't worked out, and he could have had more goals in that period. But as you said, Sam, there are forwards performing better than him in the game right now. So I think his price is might be 5.6 now, which is really done wonders for my team value. And I think I bought him in at 6. But yeah, mine are Cunha, who I'm really pleased to have had for a couple of weeks now. Sam, we sat here a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? And we talked about whether Strand Larsen or Cunha was, could you get away with having Strand Larsen? I thought you could. Turns out you can't really. Cunha does just provide the assists and the spectacular, and he's just in incredible form. So I've got Cunha, Isak and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who'll become Pedro. I kind of already don't know if I'm that happy with Isak, but he's there. We're going to roll with him.
He's fine though, because there's always places you can go. Yeah, and because of his price point, you can easily come down to, well, pretty much anyone else. It's only really Watkins that you would maybe struggle to get up to, and for budget reasons, everyone else you could afford to go to from him.
Yeah. And he should have scored on Monday night. He was unlucky not to score, Isak. He had enough chances. Yeah.
It was funny because I brought them into my team on Saturday night and was kind of cheering him on Monday, knowing that, I thought maybe I'll get those points. Maybe they'll take sympathy on my terrible season.
It doesn't work like this.
That's not how it works.
But I also wanted him to play well so that his price rose, so that I can kind of increase my team value.
She wants
a little
to get
bit.
The team value back up again.
I do. My team value is awful.
What happened to the Kelly Summers 11:52 transfer on the Saturday morning? Eh?
No. Well, she'll be back next week. But for this week, we've had a sick bug in our house. I haven't left the house this week, so it's probably for the best that I made my transfers early, so I couldn't sit and ponder over them. But I've used it to kind of really refocus in. I'm going to turn my season around, guys. Just you wait. Famous again, Jess, you'll be clipping that up when I come bottom by about 100 points. Okay,
I mean, you're already bottom in our mini league anyway. I just wanted to point that out,
but I wasn't overnight the other night. I wasn't,
yeah, but you are now.
Jules, you always do this. You're no, 4 points saying. Ahead of me.
There's 4 points, it's
four.
Enough.
One, it's, two,
it's
three,
enough.
Four,
it's four more than zero, you know.
You two.
What's that? An assist? No,
because
it's not
you
quite
sounded
an assist,
like,
yeah.
You know, you were.
Jules, I had a good week for once, all right? Just let me bask in the glory. It doesn't happen too often.
I was so happy. On Saturday night, you were so happy that you made all those transfers watching Strictly Come Dancing. And I just love that. I love that.
No, I was on a train back from Manchester with Glenn Murray, who was also talking about his transfers. He sold Haaland a few weeks ago as well, if anyone's interested. Okay, moving on from... This is just all going to get played back to me when my season doesn't pick up and I've finished terribly.
It will
pick up. It will pick up. It will pick up. You're in a good place.
Let's hope so. And it would be a perfect time in the season for it to pick up because we're about to hit the festive fixture fun schedule, woo-hoo, as I like to call it. There are 90 Premier League fixtures, guys, in the next 45 days. That doesn't mean there's one every other day, of course, because a lot of them are on the same day. It just means there is a lot of football. There is a lot for us to consider in FPL. There's also going to be a lot of FPL pods because I feel my diary is filled up with ahead of all of these midweek deadlines as well, including a lovely Monday 7 a.m. one. Cheers, guys, for that. Anyway, that'll be next week, by the way. If you do want to listen, there'll be a pod in your feed Monday lunchtime. Anyway, this, Jules, is where the FPL talent, planning and vision
exactly.
is really going to show, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah? Make sure
this
that
is
you
where
plan.
Jules comes into his own.
Yeah, not everybody has talent. We know that. But what you can have is planning. That's for sure. Vision
and
is
vision.
Debatable. Yeah, vision. You can see, but do you really see? Talent, some of you listeners and watchers are just... It's, lost course, but you can plan. So let's plan. Let's do your little spreadsheet, is that what you said? Like, you know, those documents with the games.
Yeah, right word, yep.
Some played in Europe, obviously. And even that we saw with Spurs and Chelsea, there's a lot of rotation there. So it doesn't mean that because a team plays in Europe, you have to worry too much about the rotation that could happen in the Premier League prior to that game or after that game either, because as we know, Chelsea have a B team for the Conference League. Spurs usually change quite a lot as well. Okay, maybe not tonight as we record this because it's Roma, it's a big game, but usually the teams that they face in the Europa League for now, you can do with changing half of your team easily. For the team who are in Europe, you'd have to be a bit more careful and just check the fitness of everybody, if there's little niggles and things like that. But really, it's more when you come down to all the games in the Christmas period for the Premier League, where you would expect managers, especially maybe in top teams, to do a bit more rotation than usual because they would play so much game at that time. So I think that's where you have to be careful.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because we use the word congestion a lot. I know it's been very topical with Premier League players at the moment as well. Just to put it all into context, between now and the 4th of January, 8 game weeks for us to navigate. Also, as Jules mentioned, European football, there's 2 rounds of that, if you include the round currently in play, plus there's League Cup matches. So there's going to be 9 teams who only have 8 Premier League fixtures between now and game week 20. They are Bournemouth, Brighton, Everton, Fulham, Ipswich, Leicester, Forest, West Ham and Wolves. Sam's done this maths for us. These teams will play a game every 5.25 days. I don't really know what that means. Does that mean they only get like a quarter of a day's rest?
It just means that they get the longest rest period between their matches.
Thank you for translating. There are 4 teams who have 9 fixtures in this period: Brentford, Palace, Newcastle and Southampton. They will play a game every 4.66 days. So it's like they get 4 2/3 of a day. So they're the next least rest. Is that right, Sam?
Yep.
Yep. There are 3 teams with 10 fixtures: Villa, Chelsea and Man City. They'll have a fixture every 4.2 days. Finally, there are 4 teams who have 11 games in this period: Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester United and Spurs. These 4 teams will play a game every 3.81 days. And yes, you guessed it, they actually officially have the least rest. That is remarkable, isn't it? Less than 4 days between every game. Firstly, What does this mean for us as FPL managers? Other than the fact, Sam, there's going to be rotation, isn't there?
I think that's what it means. And I don't think some people will say you shouldn't invest. But in reality, if you look at these teams, the ones with 10 fixtures or 11 fixtures, they are the teams that you'd want to invest in. It's the Cities, the Chelseas, the Liverpools, the Arsenals. We'll bracket Spurs in there as well, just because, you know, I always want to invest in Spurs. Those are the teams that you want to invest in. So, and those are the ones that are most likely to get you FPL points. So you're not going to not invest in them. But it also does mean, I think for me, the festive period is just about having the bench working for you. It's about making sure that as far as you can, the three players that are on your bench actually play. And if there's rotation, which there will be over Christmas, that you have a decent option to come off the bench. And that was part of the reason why I wildcarded when I did, because my bench was in absolute disarray. And I knew coming into this period that I could not have non-starting players or players that had been loaned out somewhere else in Europe sitting on my bench, because it only takes for, you know, there to be a nice fixture. And that's the thing, is you'll look at some of the fixtures that these teams have over Christmas and maybe go, oh, that looks like a really nice fixture to attack. And then players either may get a full rest, or more likely they might come off early if they're winning their game. So just make sure that your bench can cover any rotation. I think that's the key thing here.
Yeah, which is a large part of the reason I can't keep having Calvert-Lewin as my first sub. I've got an Ipswich player on my bench who has come back from injury now, I think. But it's so important, isn't it, Jules? If Premier League managers, sorry, are going to need depth. And we probably are as well, aren't we? And we're going to have to, I know we do it a lot with Manchester City, it feels like, trying to guess who's going to play. Look at the last fixture in the Champions League for Man City, for example, and try and work out, is Rico Lewis going to start this weekend, for example? This is a conundrum that I'm going to have a lot. But it's going to be a lot of guesswork, but also a lot of educated guesses as well, I think.
Yeah, and also I think you have to pay even more attention of what's happening. You can't watch every single game all the time. I get that. But if somebody comes off after 60 minutes, for example, let's say an Arsenal player like Bukayo Saka is less likely, but let's say Kai Havertz, for example, who I own. If he plays an hour there, you know that 3 days later he will start again, because this is part of the plan. Mm. This is all the data that all those managers have in terms of fitness of their own players and how much you can give them for that game. If you want him to start 3 days later in the next Premier League game, it's very important. And then on the same hand, you also know that if somebody plays 90 minutes in a tough game or with a lot of activity, could be a midfielder, something like that, then you'll have to be a little, you just have to be a bit wary that for the next game, 3 days later, the guy might be on the bench for his team. So this is also part of the fun. And to be fair, we won't know. And sometimes even some managers don't know until the morning of their own game. So it's just not even being like, trying to work it out. It's just that sometimes there are things that nobody can control, not even Premier League managers.
It's also important, isn't it, to plan your transfers wisely. And also deadlines. I mean, I've said it on this podcast before, I'm an alarm setter to remind myself of deadlines just in case I do forget. But we're at that time of year where you can laugh all you like.
No, I love it.
Because let's be honest, we all get pretty distracted.
What's
over Christmas.
What's the ringtone of the alarm?
It's a different one. I've changed it now. It used to be the same one that woke me in the morning, but I realised that was a bit traumatising because I associate it with that horrible feeling of when you're woken up in the morning. So it's just an inane beeping thing now, Jules. Okay. Nothing very exciting.
I was just wondering if you had something special.
It doesn't go talent, planning, vision. I don't know.
Maybe I can do a jingle for you.
You should
do a little jingle. Yeah.
No, 100% please do that. And then every time there's a deadline, it'll just be you shouting at her. It'd be hilarious.
It's not what I need coming from my phone. Thank you very much. But on a serious note, it is things like that. Like, it's just going to come so thick and fast, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to watch out for those deadlines. And like, we've got Friday ones, we've got Tuesday ones, we've got random days of the week. Those are the deadlines that will catch out a lot of the managers who aren't really on it. So make sure that you're not one of those managers that gets left behind because they've forgotten that. As far as you can, listen carefully to the press conferences, because if the managers give us some insight, that's going to be really super helpful. At this point in the season, as many talisman as possible in your team, because they're the ones that are less likely. Doesn't mean they're not going to be rotated, but they're less likely to be. So I think it's just planning as much as you can. If you can keep transfers, keep them, because I think you might get some insight, particularly in those midweek matches when you've got lots of games all kicking off at the same time. It's always handy to just have those transfers so that you can react to any press conference news that the managers come up with and try not to waste the transfers. And that's why I'm that's why I did not enjoy making a transfer on Saturday night. I hate that. I hate reacting before the game weeks ended, particularly as I knew that I had so many of my players playing in midweek. It was just like, if one of them goes and gets injured, and I'm still not out of the woods with that yet, because obviously we've still got Manchester United and Spurs. I don't have any Chelsea players that are playing in Europe because I have Palmer and he doesn't play. So, but my Man United and Spurs assets will play tonight, and that's a risk. So just be aware of it and try not to do what Kelly and I have done. Try and be patient with those transfers and make them towards the deadline.
Don't tell me, for ages I've been told that I make transfers too late. Now you're telling me that I'm making
because
them too early.
Risky.
But Kelly, I think,
can't win here.
But it was risky. And I also think that your, like, actually your strategy, your usual strategy during the festive period
yeah,
is probably the right one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the deadlines are quick. They're thick and fast. And
well, I wouldn't have the luxury, if you like, of making a transfer 6 days before the next deadline.
No.
Because those deadlines just aren't going to exist, are they? The gaps.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, we've got obviously Friday and then again on Tuesday. So you're going to have to...
It was
react.
Fun. I enjoyed being a forward-thinking, clever manager while it lasted 1 week only. Back
head
to usual as of next week.
Yes.
Standard normal service resumed at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. We love it. Okay, then we've actually spoken. Won't surprise any regular listeners to hear me say this. We've spoken too much at this point of the pod, so let's try and rattle through. I reckon that's probably the most used phrase that I say on this podcast as well. Let's rattle through. We never do. We're useless at rattling. Let's look at the teams that have the best fixtures then over those periods. We touched upon this a couple of weeks ago, but obviously as each week goes on, the ticker changes slightly. So between now and game week 19, Arsenal are top, followed by Brighton, Wolves, Chelsea, Bournemouth, Spurs and Newcastle. Let's start with Arsenal. Jules, are they back?
Yeah, I think they're back. I think that's what Martin Odegaard's returning does for you, really. You can see just the flow of their game and what he brings and brings so much. We mentioned him last week already. If you can't go to Saka, if you don't have that budget, then you can have Martin Odegaard as well as a replacement, and that would do really, really nicely. So double up, triple up, treble up, even treble, whatever, on Arsenal players. Have a defender, have Raya, maybe a defender and an attacker. Have Raya or a defender and maybe two going forward if you can afford them. Because it looks like they really have their mojo back.
Yeah, Sam, we're Saka owners.
I'm not going anywhere
for my team.
Are you not
a Saka owner? This is bad. Normally I have all your teams up in front of me. So I'm the only one with the talent, planning and vision to have Saka in my team on this pod.
I hate it. Not
do you
having
have a plan to get him in?
I mean, you can't have everyone either. Come on, like, you know.
No, I
can. She doesn't have an Arsenal attacker
no,
at all.
No, I can.
No, it's
can.
Bruno to Saka, but if you don't do it, we can't do it for you.
So I've got the money to do that. I've also got the money to go from Saka to Mbeumo. So
I sense a butt coming.
The other way around. Well, so there were two. So this is a massive spoiler alert for the transfer section.
It's all right, we're probably going to have to rattle through that.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
So I very nearly on Saturday night took a -4 to do João Pedro, Saka and Gabriel in for Bruno, Gvardiol and Strand Larsen. So that very nearly happened. And then I was just like, I don't think I can go early on Arsenal, given that one, they had the Champions League game to play. Two, I hadn't seen Bruno play yet. Saturday. And I was like, on Sunday. And I thought, I don't know if I want to sell Bruno, because I can also go from Mbeumo, whose fixtures change massively after this week. So maybe I actually prefer to hold Bruno and have a midfield that's got Bruno, Saka, Salah and Palmer rather than losing Bruno. So there were so many unknowns that I basically didn't do it. I am going to bring in another Arsenal defender this week, I think, with my other transfer. So I'll have Raya and an Arsenal defender. I'm probably going to go Timber, and then Saka will come in for game week 14.
Okay, but Jules, you just can't. You've got Havertz to cover him off. That's your plan, isn't it?
Yeah, and Saliba.
So are you going to stick with? So you're just going to stick with the two. Any temptation to treble up?
It would be Raya really in goal, because my keepers have been terrible. Like, I've been.
You've got Henderson, right?
Yeah, I've got Henderson, but he's still not good enough for me. Yeah, it's just like Sam has sent me...
Oh, high standards.
Why
did you get him? I've been raving about how bad he's been for me, and then you went there.
Because he was the only one I could really afford that he was playing regularly, since my boy Areola is on the naughty step, you know, and on the bench. So not that Areola was much better. But yeah, I can't go to Raya, but I think if I could, I would probably go to Raya for my third Arsenal player.
Jules, tell me that Gabriel's knock that forced him off is okay.
Yeah, know, it'd be okay. But he needs to learn how to do the Gyökeres Bane celebration, because he was all a bit like, he didn't really know where to put his hand. He was all a bit like, he's just. But yeah, he should be fine.
Okay, I'm saying that as if you're Mikel Arteta's right hand. No, you know. Obviously, it's a little bit scary when you have got an Arsenal defender or a premium player and they go off with a knock in the Champions League in midweek. So yeah, he's currently flagged. So, I mean, I'll listen to Mikel Arteta's press conference, but as we've seen with what he says about Saka in the past, he likes to keep us guessing, doesn't he? And I don't blame him, really, to be honest. Why should he give the opposition team news away? Okay, who else should we be targeting then, Sam? I know we did go through some of these teams next week, so I'm kind of going to let you guys guide where this discussion goes. Who do you think, Sam?
I mean, I think actually if you look at the top of the ticker, doubling or preferably tripling up on Arsenal makes a lot of sense. Brighton are a team that I would really like to double up on, but I can't quite work out how, because João Pedro is the obvious one, so cheap, fits perfectly into that front three. I think the issue with doubling is where would you go? Because Matoma, I think, feels like the next best option. But he takes up a midfielder slot. And we've been talking all this time about how, like, we've got all these premium assets in midfield. It's really hard to fit Matoma in there. I don't think you'd go with a defender unless you went for Van Heek, or maybe you go for Verbruggen in goal. Maybe that's the option. It's really tough, actually. It's really hard to know how to invest in Brighton. But I think João Pedro and then one other, if you can fit them in, double up on Wolves, Cunha, Aitnori. Feel like Aitnori is the right one. Chelsea, I'd double up on them as well. Like, I know you were just saying you didn't want to do that, Kels, but I actually think that you could go Palmer and Jackson. Feels like a really nice combo. I also think, like, Malo Gusto missed game week 12 through illness, but I still really like him as a pick. Like, I think he could be a really nice option moving forward. So there'd be the teams that I'd be looking to have more than one player from, I think, over the next few weeks.
Jules, Liverpool are actually quite far down if you take a look at the ticker. They're all the way down in 13th, but it's because we've said this before about the ticker, it's often skewed by certain fixtures. They've got Man City this weekend and then Spurs in 17. So is this where you actually don't pay as much attention to the ticker as such? Liverpool in such good form, of course, beating Real Madrid last night as well, that you just have to double or triple up on them regardless.
They also have Newcastle away, which I just don't think, especially for big teams, it's not true. You know, Arsenal lost over there, City drew over there, so it's not easy. Then they've got the derby, Everton with your friend Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and not very good, but it's still the derby. And last season they lost away at Everton, which cost them massively in the title race. So just the whole, like, the City Newcastle derby combo, plus then Spurs not that far after that either, and the Spurs team that on that day can beat anyone and get beaten by anyone too, but still can beat anyone. I'm not sure. So one is good for Liverpool. You can always have two. You can have Konate and Salah, Van Dijk and Salah still. Of course you can, because they are that good and they can also win all those games without conceding and scoring two or three in each. So, but yeah, those fixtures are tough.
Okay, just a quick check-in on the suspension tightrope, as we like to call it. As I alluded to before, Semenyo is suspended for game week 13. He got his fifth yellow card of the season in game week 12. Belieber got two yellow cards in game week 12, so he'll be out. Kudus and Bentancur, of course, remain suspended. There's some more popular FPL picks as well who are getting very close. Jules Jackson isn't too far away from suspension. Martinez and for me as well. Aitnori, all one more booking away from suspension. Okay, you know the drill by now. We have no time left on the pod, but we have to do the differentials. Off you go. Jules, I'm not going to mention last week because you both failed dismally again.
No,
Jules,
mine was ill. Mine was ill, at least.
Mine got a clean sheet point. Like, yeah, come on, got please. Three.
Guys, time is of the essence.
So I'll go first. Yeah, I mean, Sam mentioned him already a little bit in a potential transfer for, but I think Joyen Timber.
That's the one I had,
smart.
And I don't have a backup.
That's, well,
are you doing a joint? Right, okay, you're doing a joint differential this week. We don't have time to go and find another one.
Okay, I had two. Odegaard, and I was going to say, Odegaard, I'm doing a Sam Bonfield by picking like a superstar player that just because he got injured. Just because he was injured before, that's the only reason why he's low on ownership, 4.5%. It will still cost you 8.2 million, so that's expensive. But he has changed his team so massively. He's still so, so good, involved in everything. You see the way Arsenal play, it's just a lot on that right-hand side because it's him. So, yeah, Odegaard, especially as a Saka replacement, for example, would be perfect.
Sam, Let me guess who yours is.
Do you know? And I even said last night as I was making this these notes, I was like, is this a risk just doing one and it being an Arsenal player?
Yeah. But anyway, alike, so don't worry.
Well, I think he's going to be my transfer in this week as well. So I'm going for Timber, 5.5. He's only owned by 2% of the game. Had a goal disallowed against Forest in game 12 for that marginal offside, and then obviously gets the assist in the Champions League. Arsenal are the team with the best clean sheet potential this week. And I think, you know, since returning from injury in game week 9, he's top for crosses of the Arsenal defenders. He's also created more chances than all the other Arsenal defenders, and he's had more attempts on goal than all the other Arsenal defenders. So I think there's potential for returns at both ends of the pitch with him this week.
Okay, lovely. Very Arsenal themed differentials this week. Okay, captaincy, guys. This is a tough one this week. I don't know who I'm captaining. Jules definitely won't. Sam, you go first.
It's a straight 50-50 for me between Palmer and Salah. I'm tempted to just stick with Salah, but I do like the fixture for Palmer more.
I also quite like the fixture for Bukayo Saka as well.
I don't have him.
I know. Just throwing him in. I know neither of you will consider him. Who are you going with, Jules?
So I think if you have Saka, Saka is the best pick by far. Even away at West Ham, I think Villa will go to the Bridge and be quite strong defensively against Chelsea. And then the City-Liverpool can go either way. You just don't know. So I think Salah, for me, it's between Haaland and Salah like pretty much every week. And I think Salah at home, you have to bank on him more than Haaland away. So
if you had Saka, would you go for him, Sam?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
I think I will go for Saka this week. And this is good because all of our teams are different. We've got a bit of difference on them. And hopefully I can get those 4 points, huge 4 points, to get above Jules. Sam, I'm not even going to bother with you.
I'm not that far ahead. Like, you can definitely points. Catch up.
Yeah, it's about 7 good chip usages away.
Yeah, but I've used my triple captain, remember, and you haven't.
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true. Okay, so transfers. You, Sam, you've mentioned yours. Jules, have you done anything? I can't remember if you've mentioned.
Lewis Hall came in last week. Not that. I mean, to be fair, I thought he had a good game on Monday night and could have returned easily, certainly going forward. It's the last week from Brian Mbeumo, as much as I love him, because it's Leicester after that. I'll sell him. I might just keep and roll on and have three the following week.
I'll tell you what, it's nice having three. This is the first time I've ever had three transfers.
Yeah, three is good.
And it does just give you a little bit of freedom, it feels like. Even doing those two transfers at the weekend, I could have done three, but it just gives you that little bit of, okay, I can do these early ones and I've got like an emergency one. Don't get me wrong, I'd love to hold one of them, but sorry, Dominic. You've got to become Joao, my boy Joao. Okay then, that's where we will leave it. Guys, thank you as always. Jules got on a 5 a.m. train, the hero that he is this morning. So I'd say go and have
but
a sleep.
Anything is worth it for you guys anyway. So, I would have taken a 3 a.m.
How many more shows
train.
Have you got?
I've got two more now and then I fly to Saudi Arabia. So, you know, it's a hell of a day.
Gosh, it never stops, does it?
No.
And Sam, you're off out for your mum's birthday. So happy birthday to, I was going to say Mummy Bonfield, but her surname's not Bonfield, is it?
No, she's not. We're going Christmas shopping and then we're off to Spurs for the Roma game. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, nice. What a way to ruin a day. Joking. I like Spurs, nothing against Spurs. No.
Spurs.
I'm meant to rattle through and I've started with fake insults here. I'm joking. Have a great day. Jules, have a safe flight. Thank you, as always, at home for listening. A reminder, your deadline is, I've just used last week's script, by the way. I was about to tell you your deadline was 11 a.m. on Saturday. I would have been in so much trouble. I got up last week's script to check which teams we spoke about most, and then I've just been reading last week's script.
To be fair, I think I've left last week's outro in the script. I don't think I've updated it, Cass.
Oh, yeah, you have actually.
It's my fault.
But I know that there is Friday night football, thankfully. There is Friday night football, and that means a deadline. Is it 6 o'clock or 6:30? I always get confused.
It'll be 6:30. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff, isn't it?
6:30. Gosh, it's a good job. This is the end of the podcast, isn't it? There's going to be an off the
This is all over the
There's
place
not going to
anyway.
Be an off the bench, actually,
no
is there?
Off the bench, no.
Anything else you want to
gosh,
add?
Oh, gosh, why do we bother this?
Yeah.
No, I do. I've already said it once on this podcast. I told you we're recording at 7 a.m. on Monday morning because we're dedicated. The off the bench guys aren't. No, I'm joking. It's just because there's another game week to preview. There's midweek football next week. So we will be back bright and early on Monday. Hopefully the guys will have that to you early afternoon on Monday ahead of your Tuesday deadline. But the first thing to remember is there is a Friday night deadline, 6:30. The fixture is Brighton versus Southampton. So enjoy that. There'll be a fantasy show coming your way tomorrow as well. I'll be joined by Harry. I think it's time to go, guys. Bye.